Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HannityAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, this is Jaguars Postgame. Final score in Week 5, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Proud of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor is with us. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley coming up with Jeff Loggeman outside of the Jags locker room. Fred, 17-9, Jags couldn't establish anything on the ground today. Yeah. Struggled on third downs, couple of interceptions, and just couldn't find a flow offensively today.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of rhythm out there, definitely not in the run game. Although Storm did come in, you know, first time seeing him in action, I thought he played okay. He found that cutback we had been talking about. But you want to see him, you know, more consistent. I think we would have gotten to that had Hearns caught a few of those balls where we were able to sustain some of those drives, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Want to get some touchdowns and more so than just field goals. But they are improving. I can't say
they looked
that.
They looked a little better today.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you look at the other side of the football, Fred. I think most of us, probably all of us, if you had said they're going to hold Pittsburgh to 17 today, you think the Jags are walking out with the first win. So as much as the defense has given it up the first month of the season, yeah, a much better job today.
Oh, definitely a much better job. You know, I think we averaged giving up at least 30 over the first four games of the season here in the second quarter of the season. Now, I thought they played well, but that was, you know, I think a testament to the discipline. All week, you know, the theme was trust. We're family, but you don't have to like each other. You know, so we have to trust each other. And the guys were out there. I thought they were disciplined. You know, the coverage was pretty good for most part. They minimized some big plays, but they can get better.
Let's go outside of the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Loggeman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Here with Gus Bradley, the head coach, and Gus. Game certainly going down to the very end, and it's kind of getting excited there with a sack cause fumble by Avery Jones, but the pick six really kind of broke the back.
Well, we still had time, you know, and I thought we bounced back. We came back. We need to get a stop on defense, get another opportunity. We did that. We just didn't capture it.
Takeaways, four on the year. Do you need more as a defense and more pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, we always need more. We always need more takeaways, and we always need more pressure on the quarterback. But I thought the defense played really good today. I think they gave up 9 points for a team that's a really good offensive team, and we got pressure on the quarterback. We just got to make more plays.
Offensively for you guys, Blake Bortles, tough matchup against a Steeler defense. They do a lot of different things. Can you get your running game going a little bit more?
Yeah, we have to get it going. It just takes pressure off of Blake and our passing game. So I thought Blake showed a lot of poise, saw some things out of Storm. We just keep building off what we saw, and hopefully we get everything in tune.
Big picture, it looks like your team got better today at home.
Yeah, we did, but it's disappointing because we didn't capture what we were intended to do. But we'll grow from this, and I talked to the team about that. We'll, you know, there's going to be disappointments no matter how successful we are. But we found out that we can battle and we can compete the full 60 minutes. Now we just got to finish it.
Any significant injuries to report? I noticed most of the guys that got hurt came back in. I know Storm Johnson had an ankle return to the game. Dakota Watson did not.
Yeah, I just the only one I know is Dakota with his shoulder, so we'll get a further update by our training staff.
All right, thank you, guys.
Jeff Loggeman, outside of the Jaguars locker room with Gus Bradley. Your reaction, Fred, to Gus's comments there?
You know, I always I respect Gus, you know, just as much as I respect any coach that I've played for. I would have loved to play for him. He's always optimistic, and he's a realist. You know, he said that we still had time, and we'll grow. You know, the team did do some good things today. They didn't do a lot of great things. And the disappointment was the fact that we didn't get the win. But, you know, he's always, you know, going forward. He's always motivating the team, motivating the guys that are going forward. So, you know, you feel bad for him, you know, because he gives everything that he has. But just got to stick in there, keep grinding, and fight.
When we come back on Jaguars postgame, Jeff Loggeman inside the Jaguars locker room. Final score, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9, and more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. 17-9 Steelers over the Jaguars at Everbank Field. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's go inside the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Lagerman is with Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, a great opportunity here at home against a storied franchise in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. I think the fans and the atmosphere was, you know, it was everything you want when you're playing at home. You know, we just got to be better. I got to be better. But I mean, I thought it was a great atmosphere. I thought, we got to convert more. We got to get touchdowns and not field goals, and I can't turn the ball over. But I thought it was an unbelievable atmosphere and a great game day.
Dick LeBeau, their defensive coordinator, the one pick six that you ended up throwing. Walk us through that play. What happened?
Yeah, it was just it was a boneheaded play. You know, I checked out of a run and got to a pass that probably wasn't there and should have just thrown it away and been able to live another down and give a shot on third down. But, it's a boneheaded play, and that can't happen.
As a football team, though, I mean, you guys were in this right to the very end. Do you take some positive out of that because you guys got better of a football team?
Right. You know, I'm sure there's positives to take out of it. You know, defense played unbelievable. We put them in some tough situations and gave them 7 points. So, I mean, defense played, unreal all day. And, we got to be better. I got to be a lot better in order to get this thing rolling.
All right. Thank you, Blake.
No problem. Thanks.
Jeff Lagerman in the locker room with Blake Bortles. A boneheaded play. You know, yeah. He's not going to hide it. If he doesn't feel he plays well and has a mistake, he's going to throw it out there.
You know what? That's what you want from your starting quarterback, though. You know, those guys, they have to own up. They have to accept whatever happens out there on the field. And even in that play, you know, it was a back shoulder throw. If he had thrown a little bit more to the sideline, I think it'd be okay. Maybe not a completion, but at least not a pick six. So it was just low, hard. The defensive guy, he made a good play on it.
I think you'll like, too, the fact that he doesn't have to tell you right then that I checked out of that play. I put us into that play. You know what I mean? That may come out in the post-game press conferences, but he takes it right on himself, Fred, right from the outset.
Fred, we'll get back to you in just a moment. Jonathan Cyprian is standing by with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Jonathan, you guys go against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. You hold them to 17 points, but I'm sure you'd like to have a few more plays made.
Well, you know, definitely we would love to have a few more plays, cut down those 17 points into even less and try to get out with the victory.
What happened on the one completion to Heath Miller where you guys are trying to get the ball back one more time for your offense?
I don't know. We were in cover two, and I guess we didn't have a hook player underneath number three. But we were in a coverage that I was just able to come down and bring him down.
Is this a game that you can build on to build to the future to get where you want to be?
Definitely. We as a defense, I believe we held the offense to 10 points. So, that's a good step, from where we have been in previous games. So just build on that, continue to do that, and, make some more plays.
How exciting is this for you guys to have a young quarterback in there that seems to be playing pretty well? He had some drop balls out there, but he's moving your offense up and down.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. I'm proud of Blake. We all have his back. And as long as he just keeps trying his best and improving every week, we're behind him and we'll try our best on the defensive side to put him in good positions.
All right. Thank you, Sip.
Thanks.
Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room with Jonathan Cyprian, Jaguars safety. They're all saying it. Defense played a better game today. Allowed 10 offensive points in this game and kept them in the game. And there were a few big plays early for Pittsburgh, a 20-something yard reception, a long run by Bell here and there, but not to the length of last week with San Diego.
Yeah, you're looking at, the previous games. You know, guys were out of position. One guy would mess up, a lot of big plays. But this week I thought the discipline was there. No, it was a lot of bend but don't break type of things going on out there, I guess, on the field. And those guys, they were in better position. At least, we got a chance to see improvement there.
Yeah, and I think, Antonio Brown came in maybe the hottest receiver in the National Football League. They went to him 12 times today. That last play, for people that are wondering, it was 17-9. It's a one-possession game. They're throwing the football when they can kneel it out. He had his streak going of consecutive games with 5 receptions. They did that to get him a statistical milestone and continue that streak today. You put the ball up in the air, Fred, as a defense. That's all you can ask for, one more opportunity. Yeah. But they did a terrific job on him, I thought, overall.
You know what? They targeted him a whole lot. You know, you would have thought the game plan said, look, let's just double this guy the whole day and see what else happens on the other end. But he's a special talent. You know, he's hot, the hottest receiver in the game right now. You got to give the defense some credit. It wasn't an easy challenge today, but I thought they did well, too.
It is time to pick an MVP of this game today. It is a difficult chore today, but the most difficult one we've had yet. Fred, who
you got? I would agree, because offense, not much on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm going to go defense. I'm going to go with Paz.
Was Leslie?
Yeah.
Okay.
12 tackles, sack, pass breakup, tackle for loss.
Okay, Mike?
I'm going to go with Avery Jones going defense as well. 2 sacks for him today, and he forced the fumble we talked about needing to get some turnovers. He was able to pop that ball loose from Ben, so I'm going to go on the same side of the ball, just a different guy.
I'm going to go a little outside of the box. Alan Ball made some plays early today, was pretty solid on the outside, but I think by default, since Fred has a vote and a half.
Are you in the pride of the Jaguars, JP?
No, I'm not.
You don't get the I don't either. Yeah. I don't get the tiebreaker.
So Fred gets the tiebreaker, and it's Paul Posluszny, the MVP of today's game for the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we come back, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey, the Bud Light Play of the Game, highlights, and more. Final score today, Steelers are now 3-2 with a 17-9 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fall to 0-5. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The final score at Everbank Field in Week 5, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey, and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor is with us. It's time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Fred, are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready. Let's do this.
Number one. What's up with the run game for the Jaguars?
Oh, man, the run game, definitely. We need balance. In order for Blake to get better and really show you what he has, we have to be able to run the ball so it creates the balance, play action, vice versa. So the run game needs to be fixed.
Number two, Allen Hurns. The drops continue at inopportune times. What can you do with a young guy to help him fix that?
You know, just got to keep going back to him. Just got to keep targeting, get him in practice. You know, of course, get on a jug machine and take him over to the Bowden Clinic, get him some LASIK or or some contacts. But no, seriously, just keep him out there.
We'll finish with the defense. And is this defense fixed, Fred? Is it fixed?
It's better. It's not fixed. Still a lot more big plays than I would have, you know, preferred to see. But they play much better today.
You have it. Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers and medical advice of the game.
I wasn't sure.
I heard about. I just hear
Gator was going with the Bobby Bowden clip.
Oh no, not the Bobby Bowden. But I don't know. They're not even paying me for that.
Call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months. No term contract and no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 11/9/14. Restrictions apply. And I think, going back to the last note about the defense, yes, they had a good performance today against an offense that has a lot of weapons, but is this thing fixed moving forward? I don't know if one game where they played well is going to cure everything, Fred, right?
You know, one game doesn't change everything, but it does give them confidence. You know, the coaches 2 weeks ago, they made some changes trying to get the guys in the right places, guys that they can trust. You know, and I think going forward, those guys get out there, they're confident in one another, and they can trust one another. I think in turns, this allows them to play much faster, which allows them to be in better position to make plays, create some turnovers. So they are getting better, I think.
Are turnovers more a product of putting guys in those positions, or is it more a thing of certain guys just have the knack to a ball hawk?
You know, I think it's a mixture of those things, because the guys that have the knack to ball hawk, you know, those guys could be a bit of a liability at times. You know, we don't have a whole lot of Ed Reeds, you know, in this game. But it does require some gambling if they are going to be ball hawks. But the one thing you want is good game planning from the defensive coaches. So you have to allow the guys the opportunity to be in good position to make those plays. And sometimes you have to let your natural instincts take over, but you don't want those guys that are, you know, always gambling with the defense, and then they're out of position.
When we come back on Jaguars post game, the highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. We'll have more from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey coming up. A final Everbank stats check still on the way. Final score, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. The Jags fall to 0-5. Steelers are 3-2. More Jaguars post game after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score, Steelers 17-9, winners over the Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 5. Jags fall to 0-5. The Steelers are 3-2, and they're trying to get warmed up for a little bit of a run after some inconsistent play early in the season. Let's look at the highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. We start off with, well, Scobie had a 43-yard field goal on the Jags' opening drive, opened a 3-0 score after a 15-play drive. They up over 8 minutes of the first quarter clock. 3-0 Jaguars. Pittsburgh had a punt on their first two drives, and then finally a 9-play, 65-yard drive led by Roethlisberger. Sweezum hit a 24-yard field goal. Bell had a 29-yard reception on that play, or on that drive. It was 3-3. And then on the ensuing drive, a couple of holding calls moved the Jags back long distance, deeper in their own territory. A couple plays later, though, Bortles intercepted on a deep ball by Cortez Allen.
Second down from the 9-yard line, 28 to go, two receivers right. Denard Robinson, one running back, two tight ends set, play fake. Bortles drops back, rolls to his right a little bit, now throws it deep down the field, once Allen Robinson. Allen is down there, but it's going to be picked off. Very good coverage that time by Cortez Allen, the cornerback for the Steelers. Picked it off at his own 45-yard line.
A long-distance situation, almost like a punt, but a little couple downs earlier than you would have preferred it. It was an interception, and the Steelers couldn't do anything with it. Five plays, they had to punt it back to the Jags, who go three and out, and then a lengthy drive for Pittsburgh. They go 70 yards over 10 plays, nearly 5 minutes of game clock eaten up. Michael Palmer from a yard away from Roethlisberger.
Third and goal now. Three tight end set. Blunt, the running back, in an offset eye. Play fake. Roethlisberger rolls right, tries to throw it to his tight end. He's got it. That is a touchdown to Michael Palmer, who is the third-string tight end.
10-3 the score. The Jags had a two-minute situation. So Blake Bortles, the rookie, drives the Jags down the field. 10 plays, just under 60 yards. Couldn't punch it in. There was a controversial non-call of an interference. And the Jags had to settle for a 35-yard field goal from Scobie with seconds to play.
4 of 6 on the year. He's made one already today. 13 seconds remain here in the half. Anger will hold it right there at the 25-yard line. The hold and snapper good. Josh kicks it up, and it's good. So a good drive by Blake Bortles late in the half.
That put the Jags within 4. 10-6 the halftime score. Pittsburgh with the lead. The Jags only had 21 yards of rushing in the first half. It was nearly even, though, in yardage, 174-130. Pittsburgh had the lead at halftime. Well, the Jags got the ball to start the second half. 5 plays, they had to punt it away. Pittsburgh moved the ball 10 plays, but punted it back to the Jags. Scobie hit a 36-yard field goal, got the Jags within 1, 10-9 the score. So Pittsburgh had the ball. Avery Jones comes through with a big play, gets to Roethlisberger and causes a fumble.
Can they stop him on 3rd and 3? Straight drop, looking. Now he's going to have to run out of there. Rolls out. The ball's on the ground. Let's see who's got it. Jacksonville's got it, I believe. Yes, they do. They forced a turnover, and Jacksonville has turned them away.
Fourth quarter turnover. Big play for the Jags. It looked like Andre Branch came away with the ball. Set up the Jags in great position. So they put the rookie quarterback back on the field. Couple of plays later, a play he would call a boneheaded play. Changes the call, and Bryce McCain makes him pay.
4 seconds left on the play clock. It's a blitz. Can they pick it up? Looks like they do. They throws it out to the hole, and that's picked off. That's going to be a pick six. He tried to throw it out to the right flat, and it was picked off by Bryce McCain, who runs it back for a touchdown for the Steelers.
That would be the scoring today. McCain, 17-9, the final score. Pittsburgh now 3-2. The Jags fall to 0-5. That is, unfortunately, the Bud Light play of the game today. That was the game sealer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. When we return, more with Fred Taylor. Mike Dempsey will have an Everbank stats check as well. Unhappy final at Everbank today. 17-9. Steelers a winner over the Jaguars. And more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final score at Everbank Field in Week 5, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor is with us. Let's get to the Everbank stats check for this game and go with the, at least we'll start with the team statistics. First down, Steelers 20, Jaguars 12. Third down's a big number today, 8 of 16 for the Steelers. The Jags were 3 of 12 on third down. Steelers outgained the Jags 372 to 243. And, of course, the rushing yardage ugly today, 111 to 56. Passing 261 to 187. So the ones that really stand out, at least in those few stats, yes, the rushing yardage, only 56 yards on the ground for the Jags. 3 of 12 on third down. And Fred, some of those third down plays were complete passes,
yeah,
shy of the first down marker. And it seems like we've seen that a good bit this year. Why is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think that really goes back to the youth. You know, I'm not a coach. I'm not designing the routes. But I'm pretty sure the coaches are calling routes that get to the yard marker. You know, a route deep enough to get the first down. But here you have young receivers, you know, catching the ball right in front of the sticks. So I think as they continue to grow and mature, these guys are going to know how to go past the sticks so they can come back downhill and make those receptions and get the first down.
When you played, did you, like in a third and six type range, is that what you recall most of your coaches doing, having you run, everybody in the pattern is going to run past the sticks, or would you have that one outlet that you know they're going to let you complete it to, and if nothing else is there, you give it to him and try to make a guy miss and maybe pick it up after the catch?
Yeah, of course. The guys that are priority in the play design, they're going to run past the sticks.
Right.
No, that's just natural how it's going to work. And usually the outlet is the back, just a little leak after a chip block and sneaking out to the flat. And hopefully he could make a guy or two miss or break a tackle and try and get the first down.
What did we, Fred, miss today in terms of getting the ball down the field? They didn't really try to drive it down last week. They didn't take many shots down the field. Had the one picked off to Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Maybe in the second half, I mean, not trying to get in the coaching staff's head, but they were jumping a lot of those routes, maybe mixing a couple double moves there at some point.
You know, I think the offensive play calling, I thought the play calling was fairly, you know, it was pretty good today. You know, I want to give them credit for it. We didn't have those shots, and I don't know if we had the opportunities to have those shots. The running game really was non-existent, as we all know, which didn't allow for many play action calls. Blake. Blake has been at his best outside of the pocket. But if we can't have that mix and that balance, then we don't have an opportunity to get him out there to chunk it.
Some more of the Everbank stats check. Bortles, 22 of 36 passing, 191 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, 52 rating. Roethlisberger today, 26 of 36, 273, a touchdown, rating of 103.1. On the ground today, Storm Johnson, 4 for 27. Bortles 4 for 14, Gerhardt 4 for 9, Denard Robinson 3 for 6, just couldn't get a lot going in terms of the run game. Storm Johnson had a couple of bursts today. Quick look at the receiving numbers, Allen Robinson 5 for 51. If I'm not mistaken, that's what he had at halftime, right?
Yeah.
Hearns 4 for 26, Harbor 3 for 22, and a few others with a couple of catches today. Sanders 2 for 12 yards in his return, but you know, just nothing stands out on the run game. Storm Johnson might be about it. Passing game was here or there, some spots, and just nothing really stands out statistically.
I think not statistically, yeah. But when you look at the little things right there, when Blake said, he admitted that it was a run and I checked pass, what shows me that the coaches are giving him, you know, the entire playbook. They're not babysitting him. They're not sitting back saying, well, we're going to, you know, limit the package. We're going to give him an opportunity to grow. He's going to do it now, and I love that the most about the game today.
In terms of the running game, Storm Johnson also had another nice run that called back on a hold. Have you seen enough that this guy needs to be force-fed the ball a little bit more? I mean, I know it's only been one game where he's gotten touches, but certainly the most explosive back out there today.
Yeah, he was definitely the most explosive. He has the ability to run guys over. He was finishing on contact right there. He has some bursts. Good jump cut and made the cutbacks. So I think he needs a few more touches, a few more reps. And he might get those with Todman going down with the injury, with the ankle injury. So we'll just wait and see.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. When we return on Jaguars postgame, a look around the National Football League. Busy day in week 5. We'll hear more from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well. Final score 17-9. Steelers over the Jags in week 5, and more Jaguars postgame after these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score at Everbank Field. Steelers a winner over the Jags today, 17-9. Pittsburgh now 3-2. Jacksonville falls to 0-5. Let's look around the National Football League in Week 5. Some scores from other games. Late second field goal for the Bills. They beat the Lions 17-14 in Detroit. Both teams now 3-2. In the AFC South, the Colts, well, they've rallied from a tough start this season. They're now 3-2 with a 20-13 win over the Ravens. And Luck today, 32 of 49 passing, 312 yards, a touchdown through the air. He also had one on the ground in this game. And, boy, guys, with Andrew Luck and the Colts starting to warm up, it just seems like this is what everybody thought the Colts would be. They're the favorite in the division. Yeah. They're starting to get hot now, Fred.
Yeah, they're playing great ball. The defense is clicking. Luck. After the 0-2 start, the 0-2 start. Now they've won 3 in a row, and you see what they're made of. The running game is coming around. Luck is there. The receivers are back. Reggie Wayne, the whole crew. So they're playing pretty good.
Other scores today: overtime win for the Cowboys. They beat the Texans 20-17. 49-yard field goal from Bailey got it done. Cowboys are 4-1. Texans are 3-2. The Saints a final in overtime. They beat the Bucks 37-31, great game in the Superdome today. How about those New Orleans Saints rallying for a win today? Other scores, Giants beat the Falcons 30-20. The Eagles actually scored an offensive touchdown today. In fact, a few of them. They're 4-1, 34-28 win over the Rams. A final in Nashville, the Browns scored 16 fourth-quarter points and beat the Titans 29-28. Of course, the Titans at now 1-4 will host the Jags next week, and it was a 25-point deficit for the Browns, and they rallied to win that ball game today. The Panthers, 31-24 win over the Bears. How about that? Cam Newton with a couple of touchdown passes today. Cutler had 2 touchdowns through the air as well in a losing effort. Games in action right now in the National Football League. Late first quarter, Broncos over the Cardinals 7-3. The Chiefs lead the 49ers 7-0 midway through the first. And Jets-Chargers in San Diego, no score at Qualcomm Stadium. The nightcap tonight, Bengals at the Patriots at 8:30 on NBC. That's a look around the National Football League. And if you look at the AFC South now, Houston was a loser today. They're now 3-2. Indy with a win, now 3-2. Tennessee lost to drop to 1-4. And, of course, the Jags at the bottom at 0-5.
Comebacks kind of the theme of the day around the National Football League. We saw
a lot of rallies today.
A lot of that Carolina game as well. They were down pretty sizable to the Chicago Bears early on. And, you know, that's the thing. The NFL, you don't see too many blowouts. We got the one on Thursday night this week. That's kind of been the theme on Thursday. And pretty much every game today was a four-quarter game.
We're at that point in the season. Everybody's pretty much seen every single package that you're going to, you know, try against them. The watching the tape. So it's going to be a lot more closer games, I think.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars postgame. When we return, the Baptist Health Injury Report. More from Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. Final score 17-9. Steelers over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score at Everbank Field 17-9. Steelers. Over the Jaguars, J.P. Shadrick, along with Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor with us as well. It is time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. 3 real notable injuries today. Todman had an ankle injury, the Jaguars running back. Dakota Watson, shoulder injury, and Paul Posluszny, I guess they called it a left arm injury. It was the diagnosis.
I didn't hear anything more Gus specific, said.
Those are the 3 notables today. Posluszny's been playing banged up a lot this year. Yeah. He's had a leg issue and has been playing through that. He's a guy that's, you feel, going to at least try to go through whatever is going to ail him, and that's what a leader on defense tries to do. We'll see moving forward with him, Fred. And that's an arm injury for a linebacker is not a good thing.
Yeah, not a good thing. He wants to reach out and grab guys. He's got a lot of attacking, trying to wave off the big guys, get around them. I think with Watson and Todman, the special team guys, it's going to, you know, it can affect the depth. we need depth depth in the passing game.
Absolutely, yeah, so depth in the passing game. I mean, you hope to get Cecil Shorts and Marquise Lee back coming up here. We just don't know what the timetable is. They need more playmakers on the field, whether it's depth that's going to show up on special teams or it's in the base offense. They need these guys to get out there, because right now you're asking two rookie wide receivers. They're throwing to them 22 times today between Allen that's Robinson right. and Allen Hurns. One of those guys was an undrafted rookie free agent. So, you know, look, he's going to make his mistakes. I'm not trying to come down too hard on Allen Hurns with the drops, but you got to make those plays. It doesn't matter where you're drafted, but the fact of the matter is you're counting on 5-6 rookies to play on offense at the same time. It's a lot to ask for a young team. But that's what they got, Fred, and they got to go out there and battle regardless. You can't make those excuses.
We said it's a lot to ask, but, you know, this is the NFL. You know, we're all here for the one reason, one goal. So, guys, just got to get it done, plain and simple. That's what the coaches are going to say.
Jaguars postgame, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, as the Jags fall 17-9 today to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Defensively for this team, they stayed in this game today, and they hung with the Steelers offense that coming in, you know, we mentioned it all day in the pregame. Weapons, quarterback, receiver, running back, held them in check. The run game for Pittsburgh, I think Le'Veon Bell had 82 yards today on the ground. You feel like, you know, it's some one of them is going to get theirs, and it ended up being Bell today getting the most out of this game. Boy, they're so close, aren't they? This defense is right there. They're close to some plays. They got some sacks of Roethlisberger today, and it was just a different feel defensively, Fred.
You know, I think the next three games, the next 3 weeks with the Titans, the Browns, the Dolphins, I think they'll have an opportunity to show where they really are. You know, playing quarterbacks, who you have, Locker, Hoyer, and Tannehill. Yep. I think compared to the first 4 weeks of the season, 5 weeks with Roethlisberger today, get an opportunity to get out there and build some confidence and continue to keep those scores down, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll even see with Locker. Locker hurt his – I believe it was a hand injury today is what I saw. I wasn't 100% sure what
– I thought I saw he was being evaluated for a concussion at one point.
Might have been a head. I saw a head or hand. You know, I got most of the letters right in there. But regardless, Charlie Whitehurst actually played pretty well in relief today. But, you know, again, I'm encouraged because you look at Antonio Brown, the way he's torched the league. They're not – they don't have five guys that get off every week. They get Antonio Brown, they get Le'Veon Bell every single week, it seems, for the first month of the season. And then it's one other guy. Sometimes it's Wheaton. Sometimes it's Miller. Sometimes those two guys are enough. I would have taken 82 yards out of Le'Veon Bell on the ground today, and he caught, what, five for, 36 yards today? Yep. He didn't dominate this game. I thought LeGarrette Blount came in and hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, he played well.
You know, as a second guy. He picked up some key, converted some key third downs, was moving the sticks, picking up big chunks on the early downs as well. And, you know, not a tremendous number statistically, 8 for 29 yards, but just seemed like he had some timely runs against him today. They're close, but, you know, no moral victories in the NFL.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars postgame. When we come back, the final segment, we'll preview next week's game. The Jags head to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans a week from today. Final score 17-9, Steelers over the Jags. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame, the unhappy final score today. Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. Steelers are 3-2. The Jags are 0-5. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor for the final segment today. Bortles finished 22-36, 191 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, a rating of 52. Comparing it to last week where he made his first start, where he had the best rookie start in NFL history in terms of completion percentage. Going back to today, a couple of mistakes. Where do you rate this? I mean, it's a step back a bit, but you expect these kind of games from a rookie, Fred.
Yeah, I mean, the pick six obviously was the big one right there. But I thought he did some pretty good things. Checks at the line of scrimmage. Found some uncovered receivers when the defensive guys were on the line, been able to snap the ball and get it out quick for a 5-6-yard gain. So he is improving week to week. We definitely want to try and get those turnovers down. He's averaged the two picks per game, I guess, but he is going to get better.
I think it tells you not to take for granted how tough it is to play in the National Football League. I mean, Blake comes in last week, completes nearly 79% of his passes, and like, all right, yeah, but it was all short stuff. Who cares, yeah. man? I mean, that is very difficult to do, and you're out there again. I don't want to belabor the point about, you know, the youth at wide receiver, but where are the playmakers? Imagine if Ben Roethlisberger was without Antonio Brown. He's playing with Marcus Wheaton, and let's say Martavis Bryant wasn't suited up this year, who's a rookie, right? How's that any different than Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns? And imagine then if he was without Heath Miller, like the Jags are without Mercedes Lewis, and on you go. And so what he's, you know, had to work with, you can see reason to get excited and hopeful for the future. And I think one of the things you pointed out, Fred, was maybe the most astute thing here is that the playbook's open to him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
He can, you give him the freedom and responsibility, even if it's just a run pass option to check out of a bad play that late in the game, deep in your own territory. Look, the guy is the future of the franchise, and you've got to let him grow and make these mistakes now. You'd rather have him do this now than give it all to him next year, and he hasn't been in that position. So big picture, that's probably a good sign.
And I also think that not having that veteran receiver in the lineup is somewhat of a blessing in disguise. You can see sometimes with a young quarterback and a veteran receiver, if things aren't going so well, the receivers tend to get frustrated. And then, in turn, that will frustrate the young quarterback, and now they're acting out of character. They're trying to please the veteran receiver, you know, make certain throws that they shouldn't make. So I think this is a perfect situation that we have here.
I know we've banged on this running game, and I don't know if the answer's forthcoming, but what was your impression of Austin Pastor making his first start of the season? You didn't really notice him a ton, so I think that's typically a good thing when you talk about offensive linemen.
Yeah, you know, being able to just get out there after a few weeks off. You know, I thought he came back, he did well, did solid. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of pressure there on Blake. So the offensive line, they've improved a lot, too, since the beginning of the season.
And now they finally got those five guys that they want to play together. Now they've got their lineup. Keep that group healthy and see where they can go from here.
J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars postgame. The Jags next week will be in Nashville, Tennessee. LP Field against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee lost today to fall to 1-4 in the season. Jags are 0-5 going in. Fred, which team do you hate more, Tennessee or Pittsburgh?
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? It was a love-hate thing with the Steelers. I mean, you love them because you know you're going to try and give them your best, but you hate them simply because they're the Steelers. There's no other way around it. The Titans, I would say I absolutely hate the Tennessee Titans. the closest I've gotten to the Super Bowl, 99. This team beats us three times in a single season, and they would almost rub it in our faces. So I think the Tennessee Titans is the most hated team in this brain of mine.
Did the players, were the players like it? Because certainly their head coach at the time was
Coach Fish.
Yeah, he loved to rub it in. Before the game, after the game, it didn't matter. You know, that famous line about their home away from home.
Yeah.
Were the players, did they carry that? Did they take that cue from their head coach, too?
You know, those guys, they're a little bit arrogant over there, you know, somewhat cocky. Had a lot of friends over there, and they would just say, you know, the mockery that would go on in the locker room and the jokes that they would have. Coach Fisher, you know, sort of playing that stare game with Coach Coughlin from sideline. They had our number, man, and they were the better team at that point in time.
This is a Titans team that's in a similar boat to here. They're trying to build something. They got a new regime in there. Yeah. A lot of change going on in Tennessee these days, Fred.
You know, the Titans are the Titans. They're still the Titans. You know, pretty much organization trying to find their identity, what they had back in the day. I think right here at this point in time, you know, going forward, you know, they're going to try and improve and get better. We're trying to fight and get better. I think Sunday is a perfect opportunity for both teams to try and establish who they are and find that identity. So I'm looking forward to a good matchup.
Let's finish with this. The most important thing for the Jaguars to improve this week before this Titans game?
I will go back and say the run game.
Okay.
The run game is definitely the big piece.
All right. There you have it. Fred Taylor, well done. We'll talk to you next week in the pregame before the Titans and the Jaguars.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go and get my LASIK fixed.
That's going around, apparently.
Oh, man.
Fred Taylor. Well done. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, JP.
Mike Dempsey, well done as always. That's it for Jaguars postgame. If you're local in Jacksonville, stay tuned. The scoreboard show is next. Your calls, 1-800-355-NFL1. That's on 1010XL in the Jacksonville market. That'll do it for Jaguars postgame. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Jaguars manager of radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. The final score, Steelers 17, Jaguars 9. We'll see you next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.